Mazzara and Parra project to Amimora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay that scare ya. Machado, Urbano, or Nolan Garantano.
Teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Alonzarek Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
Yo, welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today as we get set for week 19. I'm Adam Azer with Scott White. Scott White, who is experiencing mild hearing loss after my very excited intro to the show. Hey, Scott.
I got you at an appropriate volume.
All right, good.
Yes.
Glad to know it. Glad to hear it. You know, Podcast League last night, right? Absolute slugfest between me and the guy who named his team after Chris Towers. And we scored the two highest point totals of the week. Only one of us won. Obviously, it wasn't me. The way you can tell, I have this bitterness in my voice. Why? Because of David Price. He let me down. All I needed was like a quality start, maybe a win. Just a reasonable start. Gets out to, I think, a 2-0 lead. And he just blows it over two innings. Can't take it anymore with this David Price character.
Yeah. Well, I can enjoy it because I don't own him anywhere, though it wasn't for lack of trying.
Well, thank you.
I think the best advice I could offer on David Price is maybe just to lower your expectations. It's clearly been a rocky year for him, and there's not a lot of good explanation as to why. I mean, he had been as good of a strikeout to walk pitcher as ever this year. I know he had five walks in this start, but I think it was only his third time all season with three or more. So he's been throwing strikes, been getting a lot of strikeouts more often than not. And I feel like the brilliant starts are often enough that you can't really bench him. But obviously, you'll be disappointed if you expect ace production from him on a Sunday night.
Yeah, I guess so. He's got Arizona this week. And of course, I'm going to start David Price. Everybody's probably starting David Price. Most people anyway are starting David Price. It is frustrating, though. The walks were really out of character. Five walks last night for Price. First time issuing more than two walks in over 2 months. But he is just a small portion of today's show. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. This is a Monday show, so we're going to tell you who we added, who you should add, who you have added as we looked at the most added list. And of course, talk about Joe Musgrove, Brad Miller. Most interesting add or drop for you this weekend, Scott?
The most interesting was...
Come on, blow me away.
Well, I don't think there was a single interesting player that'll blow you away. I was surprised in a lot of my leagues how many of the incoming closers were still available. Like, I had my pick of them. I know in some leagues I put in a claim midweek because I knew the situation was desperate enough, but there were still guys like... I think Cam Bedrosian was probably unowned in half of them. Kelvin Herrera was still out there in some. Ken Giles. So my closer needs were easy to meet. I was able to meet a steals need in a roto league with Hernan Perez was still available. In one of my shallower three outfielder leagues, Max Kepler was still available, so I'm happy to insert him in my lineup, hopefully for the rest of the season. But nobody knew who just like emerged this weekend and suddenly I was rushing out to pick him up.
Well, I don't agree with that. You picked up Brad Miller on a $4 bid in our auction league. I put in a claim for him. I have hardly any money left, so.
Yeah, but we were talking about him all last week.
Yeah. But it continued. I mean, he had a great weekend. And, Miller's 58% owned. Stole two bases on Saturday, homered on Friday. I mean, what a tear this guy is on.
He is on a tear, and I think it would be unfair just to classify it as that because he's on like a 30-homer pace. I mean, the power's been there all season. The biggest issue with him is that at least most of the time against lefties he sits, so you're going to want to play matchups with him. But a lot of shortstops have gotten hurt over the last week. I think that was a situation in this league. I think it was Aledmys Diaz I owned. And so Miller was my best choice to replace him. I think if there was one player who emerged this weekend who wasn't Oh, you know, it wasn't necessarily somebody I was looking to pick up before them. It's Joe Musgrove.
Oh, Joe Musgrove. 7 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, no walks, 6 strikeouts against Texas on Sunday. His previous appearance was in relief, and he faced the Blue Jays. And Musgrove went 4 1/3, gave up 1 hit, no runs, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. So he's off to a great start in his major league career. He goes to Toronto this week. If Musgrove might be a must add at this point, but start or sit this week, Joe Musgrove?
I'd rather sit him if I could avoid it. I mean, there may be some situations where you're that desperate for a starting pitcher that you have to throw him right in the fire. But, you know, like you said, only one career start under his belt. So let's not hand him Rookie of the Year just yet. Though, obviously,
it would be a good year to win it, right?
Because there's not much competition, you're saying, in the AL?
Yeah, am I crazy? Is there someone really good? Oh, Michael Fulmer, right?
Michael Fulmer would be my choice.
Yeah, okay.
Nomar Mazara would probably get some votes. Yeah, but it's not as loaded in the NL. NL has 3 shortstops who you could easily hand it to, much less anything else.
Okay, so Musgrove, actually have an email about Musgrove. Let's see, somebody wanted to know who to drop for Joe Musgrove. Oh, I think I told him. Never mind. I didn't put it in the notes. I responded. He's going to drop Trevor Bauer for Joe Musgrove. That's an easy call, right?
I wouldn't say it's an easy call, but with the way Bauer's last few starts have gone, I'd be willing to do that too. I feel like
it's been a long time. Bauer's been.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Let's roll the dice on Musgrove, who at least throws a lot of strikes, unlike Bauer.
All right, fine. I will tell you some players I added, and you can tell me how excited you are for me.
Okay.
This is a sneaky one, maybe. In a 16-team league, I added David Phelps, who had a good start at the Rockies, and I thought he was going to get blown up, but he's having a really good year, a lot more strikeouts than we've ever seen from Phelps. He's 15% owned, and 73 strikeouts and 58 and 2/3. So David Phelps, how excited are you for me?
I am not super excited. I mean, I guess 16 team leagues, you have to take some bigger leaps. But
oh yeah.
Is it clear he's going to stay in the rotation?
No, it isn't.
No, I didn't think so.
But
and B,
there's room for him in the rotation.
I mean, even after this start, he talked about how I can't throw all out like I did when I was in the bullpen. So I wonder if the strikeouts he was seeing in a setup role would really translate to the starting role. Like, we've seen that happen for Danny Duffy this year, and obviously that was a great thing. And sometimes I feel like it just takes a pitcher going to short relief for him to, like, recognize that, hey, I can throw harder and miss more bats. And then when he moves to the starting role, it kind of sticks. But that's not the way Phelps was talking after this start. I'd be interested in seeing what his actual average velocity was, looking that up right now.
Well, regardless of that, I mean, he had a scoreless start in 4 1/3 at Colorado. So look, that was 16 team leagues. I'm not advocating for Phelps in 12 team leagues or anything. Wade Miley and Zach Davies are two guys I picked up just really for this week. Maybe not necessarily for Davies. Davies has the Braves and the Reds at home this week. And Miley's been pitching better, before the trade to Baltimore, and he's at Oakland and at San Francisco this week. So with pitching being a little dicey for me in a couple of leagues, I think I'm going to start Wade Miley this week in our podcast league. I think I'm going to start Zach Davies in our auction league. Those are a couple of 2-star pitchers that I had my eye on. I was able to pick up.
Yeah, Davies was not available in any of the leagues where I was looking for a 2-star pitcher. Otherwise, I'd definitely pick him up. I've been looking to pick him up just in general. But it's he's been one of those guys who just don't quite have a guy I could justify dropping for him. By the way, Phelps' average fastball velocity was almost exactly the same in this recent start. So,
who's getting excited?
Something to keep an eye on.
And MLB depth charts has him as their number 3 starter right now. For what?
Right now, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know if he sticks, but I hope he does. Now, Matt Bush and Fernando Rodney. Rodney, I think, is the first one you add. AJ Ramos has a finger injury. He's had it for a while. He was unable to pitch on Sunday. Rodney came in and got the save for the Miami Marlins. Ramos is not losing his job, but he could end up on the DL. Right now, they haven't talked about the DL with Ramos, but I wish I could add Rodney in the league I own Ramos in. I can't. But what about Matt Bush? Do you think there's a change coming in Texas? And would it even be Matt Bush as Dyson struggled over the weekend?
Yeah, Dyson did blow a save on Sunday, right?
Yes. And he gave up a run in a save on Friday.
Okay. He gave up a run on Sunday, just one. But the inning before, Jeremy Jeffress gave up two runs.
Yes.
And I'd be surprised, A, if they made a change at this point, and B, if it was Matt Bush that they went to. I think if the Rangers are going to make a change at closer, it would be to Jeffress, and since he hasn't set the world on fire since coming over either, they're probably just going to ride it out for now.
Okay.
I do think Rodney would be the better ad, but again, there's been so much turnover across the league at closer that there's a good chance, at least in a mixed league, a Tyler Thornburg or certainly a Cam Bedrosian or maybe even Kelvin Herrera is available, and I'd rather have any of them. Edwin Diaz, I'd rather have any of them than Rodney.
Well, this was not like last weekend where you're adding people left and right. So let's see who the people have added. Going to the most added list here in CBSSports.com leagues, Edwin Diaz is number one. He is 69% owned, and he's been really good. Joe Musgrove is number two, now 53% owned. Ken Giles, Tyler Thornburg, Max Kepler, guys we've talked about. Here's a tough one. Luis Severino at Boston, home against Tampa Bay, the number six most added player. I definitely wanted to pick him up. I don't know if I want to start him this week, Scott.
I'd go for it to get that extra start in there. I mean, it's a gamble, and maybe if that second start was against Toronto instead of Tampa Bay, I'd shy away. But I buy the narrative about what he's changed. Specifically, it sounds like he was tipping his fastball when he was up earlier, and then came in and had a dominant four inning relief appearance, kind of like just Joe Musgrove have. So
yeah,
had. So I tried to pick him up in two start in a league where he was available, and I was looking for a two start option, but somebody else got him instead.
I don't know why I did this, because I think I advised someone not to do this, and then I went and did the exact opposite, probably a homer play for me. But I dropped Andrew Cashner for Severino. Part of the reason why is I know people are going to be hesitant to pick up Cashner. It was before his Rockies start, and I had a feeling he was going to get lit up at Colorado, and he did. But other than that Colorado start for Cashner, who I don't see on this most added list, and he's pretty available, I think. He's been pretty good since his slider improved. So I went with Severino over Cashner. I'm not sure I would recommend that for everybody. How about you?
I would go for Severino. I think, yeah, Cashner's been pretty good, but I think that's probably as good as it gets for him. I think maybe he'll be kind of like Dan Straley with a better supporting cast. So I'd rather have Severino and gamble on the upside.
Andrew Benintendi is now 50% owned. Would you drop, let's see, some of the guys in the most drop list. Would you drop Joey Gallo for Benintendi? That's an easy one, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I'm just looking here. Would you drop Alex Bregman for Benintendi?
No. Come on, Alex.
Oh,
Bregman,
you're pumped.
Got three hits Saturday.
Yeah, Alex Bregman gets on base. Scott White celebrates. All right.
Yeah. He's back in my lineup in one league where I needed a third baseman, or a roto league, so bigger lineup.
Would you rather have Yasmani Tomas or Andrew Benintendi?
I would rather have Benintendi. I'm sorry. I thought you were asking me about Bregman. Benintendi or now I forgot who the other guy was.
Yasmani Tomas. Playing very well lately.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have Tomas there. Partly because his better format is the categories format, the roto format, and that's usually where you're going to have a big enough lineup to actually use either one of these guys.
All right, Dylan Bundy is on the most added list, 75% owned. When does he get starting pitcher eligibility?
Did he five get five starts?
I thought he made his fifth start, Scott.
He did.
I thought so. It was only a four.
It wasn't four. Let me double check here because it was his.
Oh, he's starting fifth pitcher start. Eligible. That's
okay.
Awesome.
So there you go.
Okay, Dylan Bundy made his fifth start. You can now put him in as a starting pitcher, which I'm going to do. I'm going to put Edwin Diaz in at reliever.
You know what it is? It's four starts that are worth getting excited about. He has 29 strikeouts over 23 and two-thirds innings in his last four starts.
Oh, God. How do you not start Dylan Bundy at this point? So, like, Dylan Bundy with one start. Let me see who it's against. Dylan Bundy is at San Francisco this week. Or Luis Severino for two starts. Where would you go?
I mean, San Francisco is not a great matchup. I would.
They've been pretty horrible since the All-Star break.
And it's at San Francisco.
It's at
you
San
said.
San Francisco.
That's a close. In a points league, I might lean Severino just for the volume of innings and the points that are going to result from that. But your guarding ratios, yeah, Bundy probably better.
All right. Yeah. Bundy's still available in 25% of CBSSports.com leagues. Probably should be a little higher than that. Now we got big time baseball games coming up down the stretch. We have the NFL starting soon. It's summertime. There are always good concerts to go to. You need tickets. You need SeatGeek. The only place I go to buy or sell tickets. I use my SeatGeek app all the time now. I'm a SeatGeek believer, no more StubHub. Why use one source? Seriously, people. Why use one source for tickets when SeatGeek pulls in tickets from multiple ticket sites so you never miss a deal? SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you and ranks every seat based on value. Just download the app or go to the website. Select an event. You'll see they'll tell you where the best values are. It's really interesting. You see a bunch of green dots. The greener the dot, the better the value. Say, oh, bang for my buck. That's the one I'm going to buy. It's a really cool feature, and that's why I love SeatGeek. And our listeners love it because they get a $20 rebate after their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code FANTASY, all caps, FANTASY. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Outstanding deal. Take advantage of it. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FANTASY. That's all caps, FANTASY. Enter that today. All right, Clayton Kershaw played catch. How droppable is Clayton Kershaw?
I don't see dropping him. I couldn't see that, particularly if you have DL spots.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you have DL spots. But if you... Like, I don't, when do you think he's coming back in your mind? Because I'm thinking at best he makes two starts, three starts, rest of the season.
Yeah, but wouldn't you want to start him for those
probably.
Two or three starts?
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
But if you need to win. Forget it.
I mean, if you don't have a bench, maybe, but I can't see dropping him.
Yeah, I'm trying to get something out of Scott. It's not going to happen. AJ Pollock could be back before the end of August. Does Drew Pomeranz have medical concerns? We saw these reports about teams being ticked off.
You just glossed over that Pollock news. He's coming back.
Okay, yeah.
It sounds like it's definitely happening.
Okay, good.
As definite as any long-term rehabilitation could be.
All right, he's probably available, AJ Pollock, in 10-team leagues. Let me look. He's owned in 74% of leagues. I think that's up from about 65%. So
I'm surprised it's that high, but I wasn't seeing him in any of my leagues
yesterday.
So I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. So Pollock, you know, put him on your roster. I don't know what to really expect from him after a long layoff.
Yeah, I would. But if it's happening in August as opposed to September, I mean, we should get a pretty good idea early enough to get plenty of use out of him still.
Does Drew Pomeranz have medical concerns? As I was saying, we've seen these stories about teams being ticked off with the Padres for giving them potentially damaged goods like Colin Ray in Miami and maybe Drew Pomeranz in Boston. Is that enough to keep you from starting Pomeranz?
Well, is there anything concrete there, or is this
just
theorizing?
I don't think there's anything concrete, but it wasn't like Pomeranz has an injury. But he hasn't pitched very well since coming over.
It's also, you know, in uncharted territory as far as innings go. So
yeah,
there may be, and he's in the AL now. So I mean, I don't think he's must start anymore. But I don't think there's anything to the health concerns unless I hear, hey, okay, my elbow's hurting.
Julio Urías will start today against the Phillies. He's got a two-star week. Can we trust Julio Urías to make the two starts?
No.
Okay.
Or to even go long enough for a win. I would predict he won't go long enough for a win, in fact.
Sonny Gray is on the DL with a sore forearm. Rich Hill had his Sunday start pushed back due to a blister. Oh,
and he's aiming for Friday, which may be why Arias doesn't make that second start. Of course, you know, he was aiming for Sunday, and I think he was aiming for a day before that. So I'm not actually starting Rich Hill till I see him make a start.
Some tough ones this week. Carlos Beltran sat with a quad injury. They didn't seem too concerned about it. Matt Carpenter, though. Ooh, man. Starter sit Matt Carpenter.
I think he is supposed to be back in the lineup for the start of this week. He left Saturday. He was out of the lineup again Sunday. I think he's high-end enough that I'd probably start him.
Yeah, okay.
Because he passed all the med. They took him out Saturday. They looked him over again. Everything seemed fine. It sounds like he's just tentative. What injury was it? Was it a lat injury? Or
it was oblique.
Oblique?
Yeah.
Yeah, just him being tentative, worried about re-aggravating it.
Gregory Polanco's been pinch hitting but not starting, so you're going to want to check on that. All right, Bryce Harper sat with a stiff neck on Sunday. Start or sit a 233 hitter who is only playing, I think that's what he's hitting, who's only playing 5 games this week?
Well, when that 233 hitter has like a 900 OPS, I think I'd lean towards starting him. Okay. You know what? It's actually just an 812 OPS. It's lower than I thought, but... yeah, I'm going to stick with Harper.
Well, he's really been pretty bad for about a month now.
Yeah, I know.
5 games.
I hear you.
If you're loaded and you're sick of Bryce Harper, I guess this would be the... I can't do it. I can't sit Bryce Harper. Gerardo Parra off the DL. Do you think he could start against lefties? He started yesterday. They gave Carlos Gonzalez a break. And they faced Conley. It was a lefty. How do you think this plays out in the Rockies outfield with Parra back in the mix?
I'm a little concerned about David Dahl, and maybe I missed something from Walt Weiss yesterday, but his comment earlier in the week was, we'll just have to see how it plays out. So he wasn't saying, oh yeah, Dahl's in. He's our everyday left fielder. So I don't know. I would guess Dahl continues to play like he has, because has he had a hitless game yet? I don't think so.
I think he's hit not safely his first
in every game?
Game.
I know not his first game. I know through his 10 games he had hit safely in every
wow,
game.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it would be a boneheaded move, I think, to take him out. But I would not put it past Walt Weiss, especially since the Rockies have a financial investment in Parra. I don't see him being like a regular against lefties because he bats left-handed himself. That would seem kind of odd. But
is he not a switch hitter?
I'm pretty sure he's just left-handed.
Oh,
but
wow. Yeah, I think
I
you're
can't
right.
say with 100% certainty.
They're all okay, left-handed. Yeah, every single Rockies outfielder is left-handed.
Yep.
So they've got some platoon issues. He's done better against lefties this year than righties, but that might not be the norm.
He's been pretty awful all around.
Hanley Ramirez has more soreness in his wrist. Kevin Pillar missed Sunday's game with a jammed thumb. Melvin Upton started in center field. James Paxton left with a bruised elbow, but he's day-to-day. It was a comebacker that he took off the arm. He should be fine. What a great week James Paxton had, Scott. That was cost me the playoffs, I think, in one of my leagues. I had to drop him for Jake Stinkin' Barrett because I owned Cody Allen. Barrett did nothing. Mm-hmm. Paxton had a great two-start week, and the Boston start scared me. I misplayed that one. Underestimated
yeah.
Paxton big time.
Yeah, a couple eight-inning outings. 6 Ks in each, which were a little higher, but I definitely think he's trending upward here. And I had to do the same thing in one league just because of a roster crunch. I planned on not only holding on to Paxton, but starting him, and I had to let him go instead. And now I don't have him anymore and somebody else does.
Yeah. Could this be more of a gut punch? So we're in this league, this office league, and 14 teams, 16 teams, only 6 make the playoffs. The playoffs start this week. And we're having a good year. I'm sharing the team with Jamie Eisenberg. And needed to win because good year points-wise, but went into the week with a .500 record. And I dropped James Paxton, and Heath also had a .500 record. He picked up James Paxton. He started Damn. James Paxton. He got in the playoffs with a better record than me. I've scored almost 300 more fantasy points than him. My team is so much better. What a disgrace. I am I mean, it was Heath. That was the thing. Like, it was such a gut punch that I lost Paxton. The guy who picked up Paxton got in the playoffs because I dropped it. Like, what a stupid move. And it happened to be Heath. Oh, man.
Why did you wait? Why did you drop Paxton so early in the week that Heath could pick
him? We turn off waivers on Monday morning before the lineups lock, so anybody who gets dropped can be immediately picked up.
Well, that's your problem right there.
I actually think I like it. I'm not saying it's cheap to drop someone on Sunday or Monday morning so nobody else can get them for the week, but I don't dislike it the other way either.
Okay.
You know, then you have to make some really tough decisions because you don't want someone using the guy against you or just using the guy at all that week. That adds another layer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. I like waivers or some kind of timing mechanism that allows everyone a chance to look and see what's available and make the pickup. I think that leads to just a timing situation where.
Yeah, partially, but it's only on Monday mornings. You know, it's waivers all the other times.
Well, what if maybe certain people in the league are so busy Monday mornings, every Monday morning, that they never can participate?
Like me?
Like you, exactly.
I don't know. It just happened. Look, you've got a chance every single night to pick up the guy you want.
Yeah.
You know?
Unless somebody drops him.
Unless somebody
Sunday
drops
night.
Him. Yes. Yeah. There's no way to in CBSSports.com leagues. I don't think you can turn off waivers and except for guys who get dropped. Actually, I don't know. You know what? I'm going to look into it, Scott. Junior Guerra, don't start him. He might go on the DL. He's got a sore elbow. He's not going to start Tuesday. Ichiro got his 3,000th hit. Congratulations. Zach Greinke is going to start tomorrow. Congratulations. And Alex Rodriguez is going to play his last game on Friday before becoming an advisor to the Yankees. Why don't we just talk about the Yankees for the rest of the show, Scott?
It's your show, Adam.
It's been a whirlwind week here. Teixeira's retiring, A-Rod's retiring. Ichiro once played for the Yankees, and he got 3,000 hits. Gary Sanchez, fantasy relevant, he's on the most added list. He's playing pretty well. Aaron Judge hit a grand slam. He's going to come up pretty soon. I would say the Yankees are the most interesting team in baseball, and everybody should pay attention to them and only them. That's what I would say, Scott. Agree or disagree?
I disagree.
Okay, fine.
The one thing you glossed over, or didn't even gloss over, you didn't mention it, is Brian McCann cleared waivers, so he can still get traded.
Mm.
More playing time for Sanchez, more prospects coming the Yankees' way, maybe.
Maybe. Okay, I didn't realize that. A lot of guys clear waivers these days.
Yeah.
All right, in the bullpen, I think we covered... Oh, Andrew Miller got a save. So, and
former
Corey
Yankee.
Allen pitched in a non-save situation on Sunday.
Okay.
Miller's the closer?
Well, he's not the closer, but the fact that he appeared in, the sixth inning a couple times before this save, still have lingering doubts.
Okay. I think I'm ready to drop Cody Allen and not Andrew Miller.
I would definitely not drop Miller. Allen, depends what kind of other closer options are available on waivers.
Some hitters that stood out over the weekend. Are you interested at all in a guy whose name I don't know how to pronounce? I looked for it on the internet. I couldn't find it. I didn't see him last night. Rob Segedin, third baseman for the Dodgers, who actually played left field last night against a lefty. I think that's why they like him. He's only 1% owned. He's had great numbers in the minors this year.
This year, and he's 27 years old, so it's not like this is some prospect getting called up. Probably the lesser half of a platoon. Scott Van Slyke's been disappointing in that role, so I don't think the at-bats will be there for Segedin.
What was more impressive to you, Manny Machado's 3 home runs or Billy Hamilton's day with 3-for-4 and 4 steals?
Billy Hamilton, actually.
Cool, good for you.
That was impressive. Yeah, I mean, we knew Machado could hit home runs and sometimes in bunches. Billy Hamilton has 24 steals in his last 26 games. And he's batting .288 during that stretch. So, you know, obviously Roto Leagues, I'm sure he's already owned, already started, and he leads the majors in steals. But maybe in the points leagues where the steals are worth 2 points apiece,
right?
He's more valuable than we initially thought. I think he probably only needs to hit .260 or so to be worth starting the rest of the way. And I think there's a chance he could hit even a little better than that.
What did you say? He's got 24 steals in his last 26 games?
Yep.
That's, I mean, to put it in perspective, in a points league, that's like having 24 doubles in your last 26 games. And he's had three good weeks in a row in points leagues. Two monster weeks with 31, then 17, then 27 fantasy points.
Now that's in the standard CBS format, which awards 2 points per stolen base. I know some points leagues award just one. And that changes the complexion considerably.
Yes, yes. Okay, that's Billy Hamilton. Jorge Soler comes up from the minors, comes off the DL and hitting pretty well.
Couple homers?
Yeah, yeah. Any interest in Jorge Soler?
Well, he DH'd all three of those games because they were in Oakland, I believe.
Yep.
So not so clear how the playing time's going to shake out for him.
Okay. We'll wait and see. In the multi-home run club, other than Manny Machado, we had Devin Travis, Miguel Sano, Pedro Alvarez, Yasmani Tomas, Nolan Arenado, Jonathan Lucroy, Brandon Phillips, and Ryan Braun. Anything there that you want to talk about?
Well, have we talked about Pedro Alvarez yet? Because he has been on fire.
I guess I didn't even realize it.
Since the beginning of June, it goes back a couple months, he's hitting about 300. I could find the exact numbers here for you. The beginning of June, he is hitting 312 with 15 home runs in 39 games. Now, I mean, you can't use him in a points league because he's not an everyday player. He sits pretty much always against left-handers. And I think the Orioles, I'm looking at it now. I know the problem with the Orioles schedule this week. Yeah, they're in San Francisco for 4 games.
So. I read your column, Scott.
Yeah. So I don't know that you can use Alvarez this week, but I did pick him up in a standard roto league. He's still eligible at third base. So, should be able to get some use out of him down the stretch.
Did you read my column?
I didn't, because you don't write a column.
Oh, is that right, Scott? Guess
that's what? I thought.
I've been writing these little blurbs for our football podcasts. Yeah, they make their way onto the website.
Good 60 words, huh?
Is that like what a blurb is?
I don't know.
Oh, no, it's around 60 words. Like our boss said, why don't you write something up every time you do a football podcast? I'll put it in a post. And I realize I am a terrible writer. I mean, I just, wow, am I bad? You know, he helps me out a little bit, but, I'm not like embarrassing, but there's no way I can make the post great or anything like that. I can't write. I used to be a decent writer. I can't write. Not even close, especially compared to you guys. You guys are great writers. Platoon situations. I think, Jurickson Profar. Well, first of all, I want to see what happens with Carlos Beltran, but the fact that Profar and Moreland and Mazzara, they both sat against a lefty on Friday. Profar sat against a righty on Saturday. Since Chu's been DHing, they need Carlos Beltran in the field if they're going to DH Chu. I don't know about Profar anymore. I'm a little concerned there.
Yeah, you should be. And Mazzara, all of them are concerning. It'll be interesting to see how their week starts here because they're at Colorado for the first 2 games. So no DH, even more of a squeeze. I would guess that Chu is going to be, an everyday player here sooner than not. And, going to be plenty usable again, even in 3 outfielder leagues. The others, I don't know. I had half a mind to drop Profar even in a roto league this weekend.
I was going to drop him, but the only league I own him in a couple of leagues. The other league I own him in is a keeper league, so I'm not dropping him there. Wilmer Flores has been sitting a lot. I dropped him. Josh Reddick started 2 games in a row against lefties, so that was good to see. Odubel Herrera sat against a lefty on Friday. It's just kind of what he does now, but again, Jimmy Paredes is so bad. I don't know if that's going to last. And Andrew Benintendi, one of the most added players, he did sit against a lefty on Friday, and you know, that's probably going to keep happening. All right, Scott. Big time starting pitching performances from over the weekend. Tanner Roark. Why is this guy only started in 75% of leagues? He's good. He's got a 2.88 ERA. Get over it, people. He's good.
Yeah. Innings, wins. Not a lot of strikeouts, I guess, but We've seen him succeed with that formula before 2 years ago, was top 40 pitcher. So I don't really have any worries about him.
Carlos Carrasco gave up 3 runs in 7 innings, but had a pretty good start at the Yankees on Sunday with 9 strikeouts. Mm-hmm. Dallas Keuchel, complete game, 3-hit shutout against the Rangers on Friday. 20 ground balls, 3 fly balls, and 11 swinging strikes. And Keuchel said his body felt better than it had in previous starts. And, you know, he got lit up the start before against Detroit, but had a 2.72 ERA in the 7 starts prior to that. So, I don't know. Is Keuchel 66% started? Is he back to being a must start? He gets the juggernaut Minnesota Twins, but he's a lefty, which means Max Kepler probably won't be very good in that game.
Yeah. Though I think historically a lot of Twins hitters do hit lefties well. I'd start him.
I mean, get excited about the guy. He's pitching really well.
Except for that 7 earned run outing last time.
Yeah, whatever. The Tigers.
This was an exciting start.
Yeah,
for sure.
Was great. The Tigers were hitting really well. Masahiro Tanaka, try to figure this guy out now. 4 days rest on Sunday. He pitches great against Cleveland. Joe Girardi said maybe his best start.
Yeah. And that's 2 in a row good on 4 days rest, right?
Yeah, and 1 bad on 5 days rest before that.
This next start is 5 days rest.
Yes.
Against Tampa Bay. So I expect it'll be good unless he continues this little trend reversal.
Jake Arrieta had a good start at Oakland, but only 4 strikeouts. A second straight start with 4 strikeouts for Arrieta. Thoughts?
Mm-hmm. I think looking at his last 4 starts, he mostly seems to be back on track.
Yeah, Chris Archer, same thing. Last 4 starts, 2.39 ERA and 1.56 ground balls to fly balls. That includes a start at Colorado. Archer's at the Yankees this week, start or sit?
Yeah, I'm pretty much back to thinking of him as a must start. Now, he does have win issues. I think he just got his 5th win over the weekend, and that's a bummer, but plenty of strikeouts. The 3 walks he had this weekend, that was his first time in 6 starts with that many. So he's been in control lately.
How about Stephen Wright? Stephen Wright with a complete game shutout at the Dodgers on Friday with 14 swinging strikes on 119 pitches, 9 Ks and 9 innings, only 3 hits. And he gets the Yankees this week, who he's been pretty good against this year. Start or sit Stephen Wright?
I guess he wasn't sweating in this start, right, at the Dodgers? I don't know. I just dropped him a good bit in my rankings prior to this because seemed like he just didn't have a grip on his knuckleball here in the hottest months. It's not an automatic start for me, but coming off this start, I think I'd lean toward it.
Okay, how about Gio Gonzalez? He's pitching really well. 2.43 RA in his last 6 starts, only 27 hits. But 14 walks in 27 innings, or in 37 innings with 25 strikeouts. Yeah, I mean, look, he's got Atlanta this week, so you're starting Gio. But are you buying this?
Well, you're definitely starting Gio just because he's going against the Braves.
And he's got, I think so. He's hot, and he's got the Braves. No?
I mean, how hot is he really? I know this last start was great.
I did 2.43 RA over his last 6.
I know, but the strikeout numbers haven't been great, and I don't know. I guess I'd probably start him just because of the matchup, but I'm not totally back on board Gio.
Oh, let me say something about matchups here. I think one of my biggest disappointments from Week 18 was Gerrit Cole. He had the Reds and the Braves, and he wasn't terrible, but he wasn't very good. He didn't pitch 6 innings in either start, gave up a lot of hits against the Braves, gave up a lot of walks against the Reds. Very frustrating guy. And I'm sure he falls into the category of, like, who's sitting Gerrit Cole? He's at the Dodgers this week. But frustrating season for Gerrit Cole.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, he has seemed, like, a little better. He's a little better since coming back from the injury. I mean, this last start aside. But the overall, the strikeouts have been down, and yeah, a good stretch he missed with injury, and just not feeling like the ace you drafted him to be, which we could say about a lot of pitchers, I know.
We can say that about Felix Hernandez, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
He's just...
Well, this is his best start since coming back, and he allowed 4 earned runs, so that tells you something.
With 3 walks and 2 homers.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Now, three of the four runs came in the first inning, and he had seven great innings after that. So maybe he turned a corner here.
Maybe, I
would feel pretty confident about starting him. I mean, less so than like Keuchel, who I know I wavered on a little, but I think probably start Felix.
I mean, peripherally, this Felix having his worst season.
Yes.
Is it possible he's just really on his way down, falling off the cliff? This is the beginning of the end. Wow, boy, is this an ominous question here for Felix Hernandez.
It's possible. I don't know, because I mean the time he missed with the injury really makes it hard to determine what exactly is going on with him, because he had a great ERA. I know peripherally he wasn't as dominant before the injury. I just feel like he's so young and has such a good track record of thriving even with his velocity falling that I'm still giving him the benefit of the doubt for now.
Okay. Let's see. Carlos Martinez has been struggling lately. People are frustrated with Carlos Martinez. Are you concerned about him, and would you start him this week at the Cubs?
He'd been good before this recent start, so yeah, I'd start him, even against the Cubs.
It's two bad ones in a row, and it's four walks in three of his last five starts, and not getting the swinging strikes lately. But okay, we'll start him.
Yeah.
And Steven Strasburg, whatever. Two really bad starts in his last four, but Atlanta.
He lost for the second time this year.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Now, John Gray, more studs who have been struggling. These guys aren't quite on the same level. Gray struggled over the weekend. He had a bad start, terrible start against Miami at home. He's at Philadelphia this week. I think people are going to feel pretty comfortable starting him. But, when you look at why Al didn't move up John Gray in his rankings, and we caught kind of, you know, an email or called him out on it, he said, I'm going to move him up. It's because those home starts that were good for John Gray were against pretty easy opponents. You know, Philadelphia, Atlanta, there was a San Diego in there. He gave up four runs in seven innings against Toronto. But, you know, does this start against Miami change anything about the way you would go about John Gray in home starts?
Not really. I think when we looked through the game log, he did have a matchup against Toronto, right? That was the one tough matchup, and he gave up 400 runs in seven at home. I mean, still,
yes.
If he did that every single home start with as many runs as the Rockies are giving him, I think he'd take it. This was his first disaster Coors start since April, so I feel pretty comfortable calling it an aberration.
Matt Shoemaker, do you think we're starting to see a little bit of decline for Matt Shoemaker? Now, he only gave up three runs at Seattle on Sunday, but Mike Trout took away a grand slam from Leonis Martin, and I think Shoemaker hit three batters, plus the strikeouts, only three there, and they've been a little bit down lately. They've been very down lately.
13 strikeouts about a month ago against the White Sox, and then 13 strikeouts in four starts since.
Yeah.
13 strikeouts in like 26 innings. So, yeah, they've definitely been down. Still, I mean, not getting the crazy high swinging strike totals he was for that two-month stretch, but still on the high side. I still think he's... I don't think he's going to be an elite strikeout pitcher, but I think he'll be a pretty good all-around pitcher. I'm not worried that he'll slip beyond the point of being useful in fantasy.
What about Taijuan Walker? Are you worried that he is going to slip beyond the point of useful in fantasy?
Yeah, I am. Especially since he said his foot was feeling fine in this start, and he didn't strike out anybody over five innings. I think
terrible
it was
start.
Yeah, it was a bad start.
Yeah, he's at
but,
Oakland.
I mean, I'm holding on to him. I'm just... You know, he needs to show me something before I start him again.
Would you start a two-start Wade Miley with two road starts at Oakland and at San Francisco, or a one-start Taijuan Walker at Oakland?
Wow. Making me pick from some awful choices there. I guess Miley, but I don't want to start either.
Josh Tomlin had a terrible start at the Yankees. Would you start him at home against the Angels this week?
I would. Like the matchup, and he's been pretty reliable for the most part.
How about Jeff Samardzija at Miami? You got to sit him, right? He's 90% owned.
I know. It's been a long stretch here since Samardzija's looked anything close to being a high-end pitcher. I would not start him against the team that just beat down John Gray.
If you're in a 10-team league and you have Jeff Samardzija and you see either Blake Snell or Dylan Bundy or Jameson Taillon, it's an easy switch, right?
I might hesitate a little with Snell because he's has some efficiency issues that might hold him back, even though I generally like the trend he's on. But yeah, Bundy and Taillon, they're close to being must-start, not just must-own for me.
All right. Listen, if you haven't tried FanDuel yet, now might be the perfect time, and let me tell you why. Fantasy baseball is winding down, and maybe your teams are out of contention. Maybe you dropped James Paxton, and Heath beat you to a playoff spot. But this is the perfect time to play fantasy baseball on FanDuel.com. If you want more teams, if you want a new season every single day, that's what you get on FanDuel.com. New opportunities to play fantasy baseball and win money every single day. Contests start at just $1. It's great. It's inexpensive. It's a great way to play the game that you love, and you get to compete against others, show your skills, test your knowledge. Always a new challenge, but it's really easy to play, and it's a lot of fun. Now, that special offer we've told you about for new users, if you want a chance to play for free, basically, enter your first league and either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use our promo code HOMERUN, one word, no spaces, HOMERUN, when you sign up on FanDuel.com. All right, let's talk about some pitchers that you might want to add that are, you know, available in, let's say, a little less than half or more of our leagues. Yordano Ventura, James Paxton, 62%.
Oh, really? That's it for Paxton?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Dan Straley, 51%. Been solid. Joe Musgrove, 52%. Jose Berríos, not a great start over the weekend, 52%. Carlos Rodon, real nice start off the DL, 53%. And Ervin Santana, 64%. Last nine starts, Ervin Santana's got a 2.05 ERA, and he's 4-1. That team actually can win some games now. That's actually some pretty interesting names on that list, Scott. Who are some of your favorites? Let me read them again. Yordano Ventura, Paxton, Straley, Musgrove, Berríos, Rodon, Ervin Santana.
You know, the least interesting to me were probably the most interesting coming into the year, Ventura and Rodon, who this was his, it wasn't his first start back from the DL. It was his first start that went well back from the DL.
Oh, sorry about that.
And yeah, there's been a lot of issues for both of them. But Paxton, Musgrove, who we talked about, Santana, we've seen Ervin Santana get hot before, but he seems to be now, so I think he's worth riding for however long that lasts. I wasn't even that disappointed by what Jose Berríos did in this most recent start. A couple home runs, only went five innings, but good strikeout to walk ratio, and that was coming off a really good start last time. Even Straley, I mean, I don't totally trust the ratios. Gives up a lot of home runs. Not a great strikeout pitcher. But he's been just so reliable that, I mean, it gets to a point where that's what you're looking for in your lineup right now. And until he blows it for you, kind of inclined to put some trust in him.
Yeah, if you just want one for this week, I'm thinking it might be Paxton at Oakland. Straley's at Milwaukee. That's not bad. Musgrove is at Toronto. So if you're just playing for this week, I think I'd rather have Paxton at Oakland than Musgrove at Toronto.
And Paxton would be my number one choice on this list to begin with.
Yeah, and Berríos and Santana both have Houston. All right, how about these pitchers? Less than 50% owned. Andrew Cashner gets the White Sox at home. Can't you, like, Archie Bradley? No. I saw Scott dropping Archie Bradley, actually.
Yep.
Can't trust Eduardo Rodriguez either. They're facing each other, Bradley and Rodriguez. Can't trust Homer Bailey. How about Sean Manaea?
Yeah,
you know, pretty good start. Yeah,
I think he's the standout on this list, even over Cashner.
Mm.
He had a recent four-start stretch with no walks. Some walks the last two starts, but overall been pitching much better and a lot of upside, of course.
Yeah, I'm still seeing the same issue with him. Fifth inning, sixth inning rolls around, he starts to struggle.
Yeah.
You know,
that is
sure.
A tough hurdle for young pitchers.
Yeah.
I was watching the Atlanta game Sunday, and they were talking about that with Mike Fultonevich, too. Haven't looked at the numbers to back up what they're saying, but that's a tough hurdle that third time through the lineup. So
yeah.
I don't think it's a deal breaker for Manaea, but it does put a limit on his upside for the time being.
Well, Foltynewicz himself had a very good start on Sunday. 6 innings, 1 run, 4 strikeouts at St. Louis. He's 21% owned. Anibal Sanchez, 8 innings, 1 run, 10 strikeouts. What?
Against the second Mets. 10 strikeout game in 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I haven't really gotten to the bottom of what's changed.
Well, the only thing that's really changed are the strikeouts, because he's still been pretty bad.
Well, this start overall was good. Yeah, I don't know. I need to see more.
Chad Bettis is 26% owned. 6 straight quality starts for Bettis. You're not getting very good ratios, though. Any interest in Matt Cain? 12% owned. 2 straight 5-inning scoreless starts with combined 7 walks and 10 innings.
I picked him up in a 12-team NL-only Roto League.
Okay.
The fact he was available in a 12-team NL-only Roto League probably tells you everything you need to know.
I have to choose between dropping Kane or Sabathia. And
well, that's an easy choice. I don't think Sabathia's must own or anything, but it's, yeah, Kane's still well behind him.
Okay.
For my
I really think Ivan Nova could be pretty good with Pittsburgh. He's 19% owned. I think there's
lesser pitchers have been good with Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So
Braden Shipley or Ivan Nova, who would you rather take a chance on?
I might go Nova there. Yeah. I can see doing that.
And Miguel Gonzalez has 7 straight quality starts. He's 16% owned, and he's got a 2.76 ERA in that stretch.
I think a pretty good strikeout rate, too.
Yeah, let's see. 1-3 with a 2.76 and 32 strikeouts in 45 and two-thirds.
Yeah, that's not great.
All right, more news.
He has added a cutter since joining the White Sox, though. That's Don Cooper's, like, pet pitch. So maybe it's working out for him in like an Esteban Loaiza kind of way. Well, not as good as Esteban Loaiza was that one year, 2003, when he added the cutter. I'm sure this is like speaking a foreign language to some people, but.
Well, it's better than Samardzija last year.
Yes, the cutter didn't work out so well for Samardzija.
All right, some more news and notes. Joe Ross, more shoulder soreness, left a rehab assignment, not good. Ryan Zimmerman back on the DL. Tim Lincecum, back on the market, DFA'd. The Rockies should trade for Giancarlo Stanton because he could hit a 500-foot home run once a week at Coors.
Yeah.
Nick Castellanos on the DL with a broken hand. He's going to be out at least 4 weeks. Jordan Zimmerman back on the DL. David Peralta, what a bad year. Back on the DL again. A wrist injury this time. Socrates Brito was called up. Ricky Weeks started in left field on Sunday. Steve Pierce hurt his forearm, but he does not think it's serious. Martin Prado's day-to-day after fouling a ball off his foot. And Colby Rasmus is on the DL with a cyst on his ear. It's a strange one. And Tony Kemp was called up.
Yeah. Yeah, I was about to mention him as a deep sleeper. He came off the bench in an extra inning game, went 3-for-3, has some speed and obviously need a lot of that. He could see a decent amount of playing time with Rasmus sidelined, but I wanted to bring up certainly even a deeper sleeper. The guy's never appeared in the majors. He's not showing up on any prospects list, but he used to be considered a pretty good prospect. 25-year-old Mitch Haniger of the Diamondbacks. At AAA, he's batting .367 with 19 home runs and 210 at bats. And, like I said, he used to be a pretty good prospect, but the power had never really developed to the point that we've seen it this year at AAA. Hitter-friendly league, so maybe that has something to do with it. But seeing as he's 25 and putting up those kinds of numbers, I could see him getting the call over somebody like Peter O'Brien if the Diamondbacks are interested in trying something new with David Peralta going down again.
All right, let's go to the emails to finish the show at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. From Gord, who would you start this week in a points league, Rendon or Jose Ramirez? Rendon has 5 games.
I might go Ramirez there.
Really?
They're closer than you think. Although I'm being reminded the Indians don't have the best matchups, so yeah. I think I never mind. I think we're Rendon.
And Belt or Kemp?
I will go Belt.
Luke from a city south of Cleveland, Dallas, says, "Dear Albert, Carlos, and Kenny."
Those sound like mid-90s Indians.
Yeah, they sure
Cleveland
do.
Indians.
12-team, 6x6 auction keeper league. I'm the lucky owner of Jonathan VR. I've been taking offers from teams still in the hunt for young prospects. Zimmer, Benintendi. But is VR a legit keeper too? I can keep him for $5, $8, and $11 the next 3 years. Who is Jonathan VR? Where would you rank him from next year? This is a great question.
It is a great question because Jonathan VR strikes out way too much for being the kind of player he is. And yet there's been no slippage in the production all year. He also, beginning this year, he started walking a lot. So, I mean, I guess I have questions about the sustainability of the batting average, but if he's getting on base anyway, then yeah, he can be an elite steal source at a weak position, at what's historically a weak position. And, you know, next year it may go back to being that.
Tom,
I don't see why you don't keep him.
Sorry.
Coming off this year, but I don't know that you should count on him like long term.
All right, Tom says, "I put in a claim for James Paxton dropping Taiwan Walker. Get on board the Paxton train."
Choo choo.
You drop Walker for him?
Yeah.
All right. From Antoine, "I have Franco and Hernan Perez. Someone dropped Alex Bregman in my league. Should I drop either Michael Franco or Hernan Perez for Bregman? I'm already in the playoffs."
I would drop Perez for Bregman unless I was really counting on Perez for steals.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he is. Josh says, "Dear Stan, Kyle, Eric, and Kenny. Scott, have you ever seen South Park?"
Yes.
You don't like it?
No, I mostly like it. It pushes the envelope a little too far for me sometimes,
yeah.
But it's also at its best, I think it's probably the funniest show, or at least at times has been the funniest show on TV.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. All right. Shin-Soo Choo is available on my waiver wire. What's his outlook rest of the season? Should I pick Choo up and drop either Sano or Rendon in a 6-category head-to-head league?
Choo for Sano or Rendon?
Yeah.
I mean, the way Sano bounced back this weekend, I'd be reluctant to do that. I'd probably sit tight.
Okay.
This is
from Josh from Buffalo. "Dear Bruce, Adrian, and Nico."
I don't know.
Scott, is that a comic book thing?
Beats me.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I think he tells us.
Yeah, he does. Includes the answer.
Iron Maiden.
Okay.
Iron Maiden. Come on, Josh. Nobody's getting that. I own Michael Saunders in a points league and a categories league. Would you sit Saunders for Jankowski, Piscotty, or Hernan Perez? No, here's the thing. So Piscotty or Saunders, you know, losing some playing time since the Upton trade. But if Pilar is injured, I think that keeps Saunders in the lineup. Puts Upton in center.
Well, no. I mean, he was sitting against lefties even before they acquired Upton.
But he's been doing really well against lefties. Was he sitting against lefties?
He not consistently. Sometime, about half the time. Ezekiel Carrera seems to be the guy who replaces him. So, you know, in a points league, I think Piscotty, you just start him outright over Saunders. I'm not sure why that's really a question.
All right.
But,
do that.
Categories. I mean, Jankowski and Perez will give you steals and Saunders will give you home runs. So what do you need more?
Gotcha. And Andrew wants to know, who would you pick up in a 10-team head-to-head league, Brad Miller or Andrew Benintendi?
I guess just for an outfield spot. 10 teams seems kind of shallow for both. Since it's categories, I mean, Brad Miller's going to provide you home runs. Benintendi might be a little of everything. So again, what do you need more?
Well, you know, just in a vacuum. Who do you think's
Miller?
Better?
Miller.
Yeah. All right, Scott White. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Adam. It's been fun.
Did you have
fun
a nice weekend? Was it good?
It was fine. It was good. Yeah.
Glad to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Watch some Olympics. What
I
about
did
you?
Too. What yeah. a great night last night, huh?
It's a good time.
Yeah, they did great. Congratulations to all the Olympians from all countries. We're
all of them. All of those Olympians yeah. did great at all those events.
You all have done really great. We're all proud of you. Okay, that's it for today's show. See you on Tuesday. Machado.